We're going to talk a little University of Tennessee football. Will Backus covers the University of Tennessee for the Knoxville News Sentinel, and he is on the line with us. Will, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me again.
Tell me, before we get to the whole quarterback stuff, which is where I want to start, how different is this offense going to be than what they're used to running?
I mean, it's going to be a complete difference. You're going from a pro, you know, kind of I formation style with a little bit of spread sprinkled in to a really fast-paced, totally spread offense. You know, we've seen under Josh Heupel with UCF, he's going to air it out. The previous offense didn't take a lot of deep shots, didn't really have quarterbacks that were capable, but, you know, we can talk about that in a minute. But, yeah, I mean, it's just going to be a complete 180 from what fans are used to.
So if they left this decision in your hands as to who of this group is best equipped to do what Heupel wants, what do you think the answer is?
It's interesting because, honestly, at some point this offseason, all four quarterbacks have gotten significant attention as being the guy that people thought would start. And all four of them, I think, have a case because each one is pretty unique in what they can do. You've got Harrison Bailey, who's probably the better decision maker. He can make throws consistently, good accuracy. You've got Joe Milton, who's a spark plug, big arm. And then Hendon Hooker and Brian Maurer are athletic. But the guy recently has been Joe Milton. And I think that's because of his ability to spread the field. He's got a cannon of an arm. At SEC Media Days, we asked Valus Jones Jr. how far Joe Milton has thrown the ball, and he said he doesn't know, but at least he's seen him throw at least 70 yards before. So he's got some raw athletic talent. The thing with him is he's just got to refine it, and the coaching staff has to get him to be more consistent.
Do you think there's a scenario where nobody really takes the bull by the horns and they end up playing more than one, maybe for the first two or three games?
It's a fairly realistic scenario. As tight-lipped as Heupel has been and as close as this race has truly been, there's definitely the opportunity for multiple quarterbacks to try and make an impact this year, because you can play and practice all you want, and you can try to do live drills all you want, but the game changes once you get to real speed. And what benefits Tennessee is all four of these guys have game-time experience, so you're going in with guys that are experienced, but I don't think there's going to be as much shifting as we saw under the last coaching staff. I think that this staff is going to want to settle on a guy, but early on, I think it's a realistic possibility that we could see two to three guys if one happens to struggle.
Yeah. Okay, let's try it this way. Who does the coaching staff want to win this battle?
That's an interesting question, and I think given his potential and his ability to spread the field, I would say Joe Milton. Because, again, this team is predicated on going fast and trying to catch defenses out to try and open up the field and get deep shots. And if you want a guy that can throw it deep, then Joe Milton is your guy. Again, the question with him is getting those deep throws to be accurate and getting that decision-making a little bit better. But I'd say if the staff wanted someone to win, it would be him, because he also brings some athleticism as well. He's a good blend of arm talent and athleticism.
Watson, say hello to Will Backus.
Well, I've said for months now, since Josh was hired, that this is going to be an offense that the Vol fans have not seen. They've seen it from opponents, but they've not seen it in Knoxville with their team, I don't think ever. And so I think it's going to be really interesting, and I think they got a chance to be really good. And when I look at their schedule, there's only three on there to me that somebody is a lot better than them, and that would be Alabama, Georgia, and I put Florida, and I'm not even sure about that one. I'm not saying they're going to win the rest, but I think they can play with everybody. And when you've got an explosive offense, I think you got a chance to be in every game. And so I'm a little higher on these guys maybe than others, but I do think that it's very important that they settle on a quarterback quickly. And I'll just bet, knowing Josh a little bit and knowing the background, that they'll have one pick before they ever play Bowling Green. Now, does that guy hold on to it or not? Like you said, if he's not playing well, then maybe they'd stick another one in. But I'll bet you they're going to settle on one before the first game.
I mean, I would definitely agree with that. I don't think they're going to announce one before the first game, just based off of how Heupel has talked. But I feel like they're going to want to find a guy pretty soon, especially to get them acclimated to a new offense. You know, you've got two of these guys that have never played for Tennessee before, and two of these guys that are playing in, like I said, just a completely different 180 offense. They're going to want to find a guy at least a couple weeks before Bowling Green. Ideally, you get a guy a couple weeks before Bowling Green begins. So, yeah, I think they'll find someone fairly early on in the process. We probably won't know who it is until the week of the Bowling Green game, or maybe even leading up to the game itself.
Yeah, and do you feel like they've got the guys around to catch the ball, come out of the backfield? Because a lot of catches come from the backfield also in this style of offense. And do they have the core of kids to be really good on offense with this system?
I think so. I think when you look at Tennessee's skill position on offense, it's one of the more underrated in the SEC. And the key word with it is potential. You've got a lot of guys that flashed last year, and maybe even their potential was limited because of the style of offense. I look at a guy like Jalin Hyatt, who's a burner, super fast, but he didn't really have a lot of opportunity to thrive in an offense that played small like the last offensive system, so he could have a huge year. You've got a guy like Jimmy Callaway, who's got positional versatility, good with the ball in his hands. Jimmy Holiday, he's fast. So I think there's a lot of potential here. Senior guys like Bayless Jones and Mississippi State transfer Javonte Payton bring a little bit of experience. Bayless Jones is dynamic. He obviously returns kicks. So the wide receiver position, I think, is fairly underrated, and I think that they're really going to have a chance to shine in this new offense. And then running backs, I'm not sure how dynamic the running back room is in terms of being able to catch the ball out of the backfield, but they've got four guys that have four different skill sets. So you've got Jalen Wright, who's speedy, Dee Beckwith, who's huge and powerful, Jabari Small, who's shifty, and Tyon Evans, who's kind of in the middle of them all. So, you know, while the catching may not be as dynamic out of the backfield, you've got four different guys that can do four different things.
Yeah, and my last thing I'll give you to Terry, for a long while, and may have even here at the end, Tennessee led the country in most transfers, going to the transfer portal. Do you think that was because Josh was tough on them and wanted to clean it out a little bit, or do you just what was the reason for that? That's the only red flag I've seen since Josh went there, is the number of people that transferred out. Everything else to me, I think, has been solid.
Yeah, I mean, and Tennessee still does lead the nation in transfers out, but it has slowed down recently, which is to be expected given how close we are to the season. But, you know, I think it really, with transfers, it comes down to a case-by-case basis. Sometimes it's because a guy doesn't fit in the new system, which I think there have been some cases of that. I'm not sure if Josh Heupel told them to hit the road or they just felt that they didn't fit, but you see guys like that. And you know, given how the previous staff went out with the uncertainty, with the recruiting violations, a lot of times when you see a coaching change, you'll see transfers just because guys don't fit into the new system or they don't fit with the new staff. So, I mean, I think a large part of Tennessee's volume of transfers probably has to do with the uncertainty surrounding the program and its future, you know, because it is kind of an abnormally large amount of guys to see the transfer away. But, again, it's a case-by-case basis with each one.
Terry?
Well, outside the quarterback position, which we know is certainly still undetermined, what is the biggest area of concern in your mind on in regards to position groups with this Tennessee football team?
I might cheat a little and say the front seven as a whole, or front six, depending on what Tennessee runs, your defensive line and your linebackers. With the defensive line, you've got the experience of advantage. You've got three guys coming back, two of which I think are super seniors. Who all have significant starting experience, but they've never been very productive. Getting to the passer has been a problem for Tennessee the past few years, so they need a lot more disruption along the defensive line. And then linebacker was decimated in the transfer portal, obviously, with Quaveris Crouch and Henry Toto leaving the program. That leaves a lot of guys who don't have a lot of experience. During spring, they had five scholarship players, a walk-on, and a long snapper playing linebacker. They've got some guys back from injury and from suspension. But, you know, I'd say the front six or seven is probably the biggest question mark for this team.
In your mind, what is realistic for this Tennessee team? Can they go 6-6 or and make a bowl? Where do you think they'll finish in the East? I certainly can't see them being any higher than third behind Florida and Georgia.
Right. I think, you know, 6-6 is a pretty fair metric, and it's definitely attainable given their schedule. They've got, you know, a few I would call automatic losses against your Alabamas and Georgias. But there's some toss-up games like South Carolina, Missouri, Pittsburgh, I'd say, is a toss-up where you can start sneaking toward that 6-6 territory. I picked them. We did our preseason voting. I picked them fifth in the East above South Carolina and Vanderbilt. And I think that was pretty much the consensus with a lot of people. And I just think, you know, I think South Carolina and Vanderbilt are obviously not in as good a state as Tennessee right now. And Tennessee has the potential to sneak into that fourth spot. We'll just have to see how they do against teams like Missouri and Kentucky that are kind of hanging in that 3-4 range in the East.
And finally, what's been the reaction in Knoxville to the news that Oklahoma and Texas are headed to the SEC?
Right. You know, Heupel was asked about it today, and he played it pretty diplomatically, saying, you know, it's good for conferences competitiveness. Obviously, he played at Oklahoma, so you'd have to imagine that he might be happy for the potential to play his alma mater more consistently. But, you know, I think most schools are going to tell you that it's good for competitiveness and it's good for the SEC's brand, because it is. It expands their market and adds to college football competitors to the conference. So I'm sure that from that optic standpoint, schools are very happy about it.
Will, appreciate your taking the time to come on with us today. It'll be fun to watch all of this develop, especially at the quarterback position. And thank you for coming on and sharing a little bit.
Absolutely. Thank you all for having me.
Will Backus.